Welcome to Power Podcast UK, the podcast created to help Jenny and Mark finish writing their book. If you find it hard to motivate yourself to do something, this is the podcast for you, as we explore why we procrastinate and find ways to help us get our novel finished.
Whether or not you're writing a book, making a film, painting a picture, or even motivating yourself to do the housework, join us and let's find a way to get this stuff done.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 39 of Power Podcast UK. Hello Mark.
Hello Jenny. Comment ça va?
How are you?
Very good, thank you. You alright?
Good. Yes, I'm fine, thank you.
You've not been too well, you've been a bit poorly.
If I sound a bit snotty and stuffy, I do apologise. I've been poorly again.
Well, hopefully this podcast will rejuvenate all your energy supplies and your wellness and make you feel super duper.
Yeah, I know. I feel I should do a lot of resting, but to be honest, I'm not working at the moment, so all I'm doing is resting. So I don't know what's going on. Maybe I'm doing too much resting.
You're not. I bet you £1 million, Jenny, that you're not just resting. You're just being, You're just being very humble about what it is you do, because you don't just rest. You do a million things.
Yeah, I do a million things.
So you're not just resting. You're just not. Yeah, right. You're just not doing that thing that is in your routine that you were doing before.
Yeah, maybe it's just winter, so I'm just getting a cold.
Yeah. Happens to everyone. It's okay.
It does.
Got to look after yourself, though, Jenny.
You do. But it's been a bit of a gap for us, hasn't it, Mark? It's been a little while. We had our bonus a few weeks ago, which was just me blathering on about my book. And then now we're back. Yeah.
We are back. And we are going to be talking about how to write books.
Would you like a little book update before we start on how to write the book?
Yeah, let's give us an update on how your NaNoWriMo extraordinaire is going post-November.
I am about 7,000 words away from finishing editing my book.
Wow.
And then I'm going to do some improvements to a few chapters, because I did, oh my God, I just think this podcast has helped me write this book so much, you wouldn't believe.
Writing
it with the Pomodoro and stuff, and having the ideas about characters and that sort of thing, to then when I'm editing it and I plotted how the plotted how the plot was going on like a graph, and so I could see where I thought it was a bit weak, so I know how to bring it up.
And how did you measure that on the graph? What were you using as your axis? Is it the y-axis?
Yeah, well, I did all the chapter numbers at the bottom, and then at the thing was like my own analysis of how exciting / intense / active the book was at that point. So I was looking, I thought a couple of chapters seem a bit filler. I thought I'll just plot where they are, and they're all in a group, so I just need to bring them up a bit, and then everything would have, you know, when you have your peaks and troughs, so it reaches this exciting point and then it will go down, and then it reaches another exciting point and it goes down, and it reaches the most exciting point and then everything gets resolved.
Wow.
Basically, so it's along that sort of lines.
Great.
I dipped too low.
That's really interesting, actually, analysing your writing from a kind of drama point of view,
Well, it's how people read books, and then we've looked at plots before and how sometimes they're circular and sometimes they go up and down, and the different types of plots. So I already have that knowledge, and I was thinking in my head, I need to do a curvy graph, because I've seen curvy graphs. And if I see how my plot works on a curvy graph, I'll know how to fix it to make it work better.
I wish our listeners could see you at the moment.
Do you see my hands? We're like, I'm just like a lovely wavy wave.
Jenny is like a conductor in a symphony orchestra with her hands doing whoopy waves and circular plots and graph shaping. It's very good.
We should video this.
I feel like we're doing yoga.
just one hand yoga.
One hand yoga. That's the best.
This hand is
yoga.
So flexible now.
That's does the best type of yoga if you ask me.
There you go. It's really good.
So that's amazing though, Jenny, that you got so far. Good for you.
So yeah, and then I am at the point where I'm nearly ready to send it to people to have a look at.
Ooh.
And we have a team of eager beavers ready to read it.
I love an eager beaver.
excuse me. And then when I do that, I'm going to start sending it to some publishers and agents.
Amazing.
And that's what I'm excited
amazing.
To do.
We need to document this journey. Big time.
Yeah. It might not happen, but then I've got like two other ideas for other books, so I'll just start writing those.
Good. That's what it's about. Just got to keep going.
Yeah.
Keep doing it. Keep working on your craft.
I'm very happy.
Love. That's so great. What was I going to... And are you going to prepare an audio version just for me?
No, not with this cold. But if you like, I'll phone you up every night and I'll read a bit to you, like great. I do with Hector.
That'd be lovely.
Just when you go to bed, I'll read you a few chapters.
I can't see any problems with this. This is a great idea.
Oh, it'll take me ages to read it out.
Oh. It's exciting. I love it.
You need to learn how to read. You need to learn how to read.
I can read.
I don't, can you?
I just don't have time to read. That's my problem.
Aww.
I don't.
Oh, you could get one of those things. Can't you get one of those things that just will say the words out?
Do you mean like an audiobook?
No, not like it comes as an audiobook, but a program on the computer which just reads out words for you that blind people have. And also, you know, when you hear like the weird automated voices say the words.
But how would I, what words would I give it?
My whole book.
Your book?
My book, and then it can read it out, book. And then you can listen to it, yeah.
Sure, yeah, okay, that works. I thought you just tell it, I just thought you were suggesting ways to hear a book. It's like, Jenny, this exists, it's called Audible.
No, this is not, I'm not like trying to, you know, claim that I'm going to invent audio books. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of and see if that works.
Send me your manuscript and I'll get an app that will read it to me.
Yes. Not Audible. Something else. I will send you my manuscript when it's complete.
Very good. Lovely.
It's nearly complete.
It's amazing.
Anyway, what are we talking about today, Mark?
We're talking about how to write books. I guess we're just going back to the start. The thing is, when you're training in something, or when you're learning in something, or when you are in a field of expertise, it's always good to go back and refresh and train and improve yourself. And so, although we've talked about how to write books and things like that before, and tips and all things like that, it's good to remind ourselves and just keep going over and over and over, because you can never... You're never done with your training. You're never done with your improving your skills, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's good. It's good to refresh. So we found a very good mini segment article about how to write your book, and so we're going to be exploring that.
Yes, we found it. You found it through the Women's Hour, BBC Women's Hour.
Yay.
And obviously they speak to a lot of writers, so they've obviously collated a lot of the writers they've spoken to into one lovely little film with different tips for writers on how to write their book. People like Prue Leith and Ruby Wax and things like that.
Yeah, Prue Leith, she's not just a judge on Bake Off.
She writes loads of books. I need to read one of her books.
She's a writer extraordinaire. Was there one thing in it that was a big takeaway for you?
I liked the Ruby Wax bit when she said you've got to tolerate the garbage.
Oh,
so you're going to write...
Oh,
did I nick your one? Oh, we're so similar.
That's all right, you go for it.
I just really like that, because I think sometimes when you write, you do look at it and you think, oh, it's really crap, no one's going to like it, I hate it. A lot of times I looked at my stuff and gone, I hate it. That's why I never finish anything. I just look at it a couple of days later and just think it's terrible. So that was really nice to hear that someone else does that, and you just have to get past it and pick out all the good bits and not let it faze you. That was really interesting. What did you think about that bit, Mark?
It really stuck out for me, tolerate the garbage, because whatever you're writing, whatever you're creating, it isn't going to be always be great. And so just get through it and don't let that be a point where you stop.
Yes.
Just have to.
I think so often it is.
Yeah. Tolerate. Be patient with yourself, patient with your work.
I also liked the bit, am I going to steal one of your bits now again? I don't know who said it, but it's learn by your mistakes, which I liked a lot. I can't remember which lady said this, but so you're gonna make mistakes, and it's only you that can learn from them, and you can't learn by not doing them. So you just have to get on with it, and I think that's very nice.
Yeah, it's true. It's a very poignant thing that you have to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't, then got nothing to learn from.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading How to Fail by Elizabeth Day at the moment, because my lovely husband got me it, because he thought I might find it interesting. because I was talking about what a massive failure I was. So he put me a book, about
Jenny,
it.
Oh, Jenny, you're not.
I know, so good. I know. You know, you get like that sometimes. And he said, I bought you a book. It'll help you. Oh, thanks. And actually, it's really nice. And I like the ethos that she has. She has a podcast. And now she's written this book. And she's speaking to a lot of successful people about their failures and how it's helped them in life and how you have to fail to succeed, which I quite liked. So that was a nice little reinforcement coming through.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. There's a song I've been that's out at the moment. I can't remember what it is, but it's something about that, about making mistakes and learning from them. But the actual lyrics escape me right now.
Probably is it a modern pop song?
I think it might be.
I don't listen to modern pop songs anymore.
Is it the Taylor Swift or Pink or something like that? About making those mistakes. Have you seen Taylor Swift's documentary on Netflix?
No, I need to. It's on my list.
It's good. Miss America.
Is it really good?
It is good. It's very enlightening.
What's it about? Part of it about being about Taylor Swift, obviously.
Just really, really quickly, because I know there's a bit of a non-sequitur what we're talking about. But she, basically, it's documenting, kind of writing her last album and how it all came to be, essentially, through her, what's gone on in her life. So I guess the most pivotal moment for her was when Kanye West got on stage and told Jim, didn't that Jim about this when she won the MTV?
Do you remember that? Yeah, I remember that.
For Best Video, and he got on stage and told everyone that Beyonce's video is better.
Yeah.
Which is just despicable. Awful. It's absolutely deplorable. Who in their right mind thinks they have that right to stand up and do that? It's disgusting. And to that point, Taylor Swift had just always been this kind of good girl that would never ruffle feathers, that would be very polite and very amiable and not perhaps say what she really thought about things, because that wasn't how she's brought up. She's kind of a good girl in inverted commas, not because that's her branding, just because that's who she is, and that's kind of what comes out. And it's basically the journey she's gone on, and how that she was sexually assaulted by a radio DJ, and going through the experience of having to go to trial and people not believing her, and it's like she's got to the point where said enough is enough, and so she spoke out publicly for the first time about her political views, where she supported the Democratic candidate for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Over the Republican candidate, who was a woman that was basically, she described her as Donald Trump in a wig, and talked about why. And they showed footage of her in their meeting with their record company and everyone, and they were concerned, saying, if you say this, if you do this, you will lose half your audience, you'll lose half your revenue, effectively. And the point that she took from it was like, When I look back at this, I want to be on the right side of history. I want to look at what I'm doing now and think, well, I did the right thing regardless, or what she feels is the right thing. And so she did it. So she publicly said how she felt about the candidates, and that was it. And it kind of worked in her favor. Then in her latest album, when I say it worked in her favor, it kind of made her feel like a stronger person. And that, in turn, as well, gave her the confidence to speak out about her sexual assault case, and talk about how it's not right that if she was a man, people would listen to her, people would have taken more attention, and how she was in court with this guy who assaulted her, and his lawyer basically told her what happened, that he wasn't there. And they've got it on camera, and the lawyer basically told her a complete different story of what happened, and it just got, I think Taylor just thought, I've had enough, and so her latest album, there's a lot of music where it's about her real feelings on things, such as You Need to Calm Down, mm-hmm. and she's got a song called The Man, but it's good. It's I think even if you don't like Taylor Swift, and even if you don't like her music, I think there's a lot you can take from it about having that confidence and courage to be yourself and to say your views, and that you know, it's okay to call out the things that you think aren't right. As long as it's done with dignity, I suppose.
Yeah. Very nice.
But yeah, it's good. It's good. And it's not too long either. It's not like one of these massive, like, 2.5 hour epic things. It's about an hour and a half. And Brendan Urie from Panic of the Disco is in it, so you can't go wrong.
Sounds amazing.
He's a lovely man.
What were we talking about before we went to Taylor Smith?
Sorry, that was an absolute non-sucker term.
It was. Is that learning from your mistakes?
Learning from your mistakes.
So she learned from her mistakes. You learned from your mistakes, Mark?
She didn't learn specifically from her mistakes. I think I thought that she had that lyric in one of her songs, but I might be thinking about someone else. Might be thinking about Dolly Parton. She talks about stuff like that, doesn't she?
Oh, she's made a lot of mistakes.
In her songs.
Oh.
But you gotta try.
Pick yourself up and try.
Yeah. Oh, Dolly. What a legend she is. Her lyrics are so good. So, anyway, what stuck out to me when in this piece about how to write books is the sense of just get on and do it. So if you're this lady said, if you're waiting for your perfect day at the perfect desk, the perfect setting to write your book, it's not going to happen. You just have to get on with it. Don't wait. Just do it. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
It's true. Although, you know, it takes a lot of time to read a book, so you do have to have some time. Or a lot. But, you know, we interviewed Nagin Papen from... What she wrote? Is it behind me? Yes, Forbidden by Faith. And there's also more. She's written quite a few
She's got a trilogy now.
Yeah, she's got a trilogy.
They're beautiful. They've been rebranded and they look lovely.
I mean, they're beautiful because it's got, like, sexy men on the cover.
No, but the colouring, it's all black. And the font is really nice.
I mean, she's just got honeys on the cover. Like, seriously sexy man. But she wrote all the time wherever she was, like in between dentist appointments and...
Yeah.
Because she is a dentist. She's not, like, she went to a lot of dentist appointments.
She hasn't got really bad teeth.
Yeah. When she was looking, in between looking after her kids and stuff, she wrote all the time. So it's that kind of... You need that level of enthusiasm and commitment, I think, to do it properly.
Yeah.
Which not everyone has.
Yeah, well, they talk as well in the piece about making time a priority to write. And talk about how you're in control of what you do. You're in the driving seat. So do it. Just do it. Do it.
Yeah, do it.
Even if you're at a boring cocktail party, go to the toilet and write.
I mean, the thing is, though, Preleaked obviously has a better laptop than me because I need a plug, my battery dies. So I would have to go to a toilet with a plug and have to, like... You also have a really big bag on your back as well. So if you went to a cocktail party, what, she's got a rucksack with a laptop in it?
I can't imagine Preleaf would have a laptop.
Well, she did a tapping motion. She wasn't writing in a notepad. She actually went tap, tap, tap with her fingers.
Did she?
Yes.
Well, maybe she has, like, a little...
She didn't go scribble, scribble, scribble. Maybe... She went tap, tap, tap.
Maybe she has a little... Palm Pilot in her hand.
I mean, like... I think I've got visions of now going with a beautiful cocktail dress and, like, massive rucksack.
But everyone just probably thinks she went out of a really big poo at cocktail parties.
That's also, yeah, everyone's like, where's Prue? Oh, she's got a terrible, terrible problem. She keeps going off for, like, an hour. And we can hear her in there making noises. Tap, tap, tap. Don't know what she's doing.
Is that Prue? We like some more prunes. Get ready for you, the canopy prune. With her prunes, bless her. Relief. It's easier said than done, though, isn't it? Just get on and do it. But you really have to. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so snippy.
Was there anything else that you had a big any light bulb moments from watching it?
Yes, there was two other bits I liked, and the first one was read a lot, which I liked a lot because that's what I do. So I'm taking that as an encouragement to keep reading all the time.
Read. They talked as well about read people who are better than you. Which, let's face it, for me, that's everyone. Just read anyone.
I think I feel like, because I read, I've just finished reading Ruth Hogan's second book, The Wisdom of Sally Red Shoes, and I loved it. And as I was reading, I was like, oh, this is so good. I'm never going to write like this. It's amazing. But then hearing that just then made me feel a bit better that, you know, there's loads of people better than you. You just got to keep reading them.
Yeah. And
learning from them
and rereading what you're doing, but it's it could be good just to kind of sometimes step back a bit from what you've read and actually think, why is this good? What is it that I'm enjoying about it? Is it that the characters feel really robust and full, or is it the just the general structure of the book? Because structure and layout, if it's not right for me, it's just something that really annoys me. It makes it hard for me to get just enjoy reading it. If part of a chapter structure or section within a chapter is very repetitive, that I can find that off-putting. In the same way is if I just feel like a character is not really serving anything. It's just kind of nothing really is happening. Like what can we do? Why is nothing happening if they not put enough action into? What can we do to make things, I guess, pacier?
Yeah. I mean, there's books where they've got, I like a lot of description, and sometimes it's too much and you lose it. But sometimes it's really nice and emotive and really helps you. But then other times I've read books where there's hardly, I can read it then sit back and think, I've had no idea how that character looks. There's been no indicators, but you make it up in your head and it still works. So there's loads of different ways of doing things. And that's where you get all the information from reading so many different people.
Yeah. And there's
how they pull together things.
And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with writing books or reading books that don't have a lot of pace, because there's a place for that. But in terms of what you like and what works for you, and what you're learning from, if pace is something that you need, that helps you get to your own style and your own, like someone else said in the little clip about finding your voice. If your voice is about having pace and making things snappy, for example, quicker and things happening at a good speed, then that's you. If you like it the other way around, if you like it slow and slow burning and very descriptive, then that's you too. But just being aware of things that you like and what turns you on to reading in a plot.
Yeah. Finding your own voice was my last one too.
Oh, Ginny. Excellent.
I think that's kind of an obvious one, isn't it?
It's hard, also, though. It's really hard.
Because you read so much stuff. And when you start writing, you're writing as someone else, really.
Mm.
So it's going to take time to get your own voice out there.
Yeah. And often I find like my voice just changes depending on what bit I'm on. Because if I'm really excited about a bit, like I'm writing, for example, one of our sections with one of our two male protagonists, it was really exciting writing about them. And so I think I was maybe a bit more, this happened, this, and then the move on to this, and this, and this, and the dialogue was really quick. Whereas in other bits where you're kind of setting up a scene, I don't know, I just feel like, right, it comes from a different place in my head.
But that's good, though. It's like a natural ebb and flow. You have quiet bits where you set the scene, and then if something dramatic is happening, then things are quicker.
Yeah.
Sentences are shorter.
Yeah.
To add to the tension and the pace of it.
Yeah. And I guess with experience, the more you write, you'll find your voice. And it's okay if you don't quite know what your voice is at that moment in time.
Exactly. It will come.
Right?
That is exactly what I think is going to happen to us. If we keep writing, we will find that voice. Or if we just keep creating, and then you will find your voice. I think you found your voice creatively, Mark.
And once we've found our voice, can we go on The Voice?
No, you're not allowed to go on The Voice once you found it, because they're looking for a voice.
Oh.
If you've already found one, you can't go on it. You have to go on The Masked Singer.
Oh,
because you have a voice.
Are you watching The Masked Singer?
Oh, you know what? I like the bit where they take the masks off. But I'm less keen on everything else. Because we watched half of it on Saturday.
That's,
and they're
like,
right, now everyone's going to sing again. I was like, oh, it's boring now. I just want to watch them take the masks off.
Do you know what? I just love... Chris and I sit there and watch it and think, this is the most awful show I've ever seen. But we're so compelled. Like, we have to watch it. I just love it. I love it and I hate it.
I love it. The tension when they take the masks off and everyone's going, take it off! Take it off!
Oh,
like they're going to kill them.
I feel like...
They go crazy.
I feel like we're in some sort of like working men's club. We're watching strippers. It's disgusting.
It's not even,
I don't like it.
It's really just like a baying crowd mob. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Take it off!
They need to find a more eloquent way of doing that whole section. So it isn't so...
Hyper-masculine.
Take it off! Disgusting.
So it was Denise Van Outen, which I think you guessed.
Yeah, I knew it right from the start.
Did you?
Yeah, I was like, that's Denise Van Outen. I used to work with her. I know it.
That's what I said to Nick. I was like, oh, Mark knows it.
I just knew it.
And who was the second one last night, Saturday night?
It was CeeLo Green.
It was CeeLo Green. Oh, he had the short straw in that stupid monster costume. He couldn't even move his arms.
Did you see it though? He had so much space. He could have taken like hamburgers and all sorts in with him.
I know.
Like
he just had to bob up and down. That was his entire dance routine.
Yeah.
I just like seeing where all the eye holes were. That was my fun thing. Ooh.
Well, I love a good eye hole. I do.
So, now, how many are left? Four?
Three left. Four? There are three left going into the
final. So, who do you think are in the thing? So, it's Mr. Hedgehog.
Hedgehog.
Mrs. Octopus. And Mrs. B.
Yeah. Who do you think is Hedgehog?
I've heard Jason Manford's in the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. I think it's Rob Brydon.
Ooh.
Can I say, by the time this podcast comes out, The Masked Singer would have finished. So,
yeah.
Indulge us, listeners, please. Indulge us.
Also realise how right we are or wrong we are. And also, obviously, Queen Bee's Nicola Roberts, yeah?
No, I think it's Jade from Little Mix.
Do you think it's Jade? Do you think Jade would go on it?
Yeah, I do.
I thought when they said it's Jessie, and I was like, it's not Jessie, is it?
Well, the voice sounds northeastern. And there's two northeastern girls in Little Mix, and the other one doesn't sound like that when she sings. Because there's a lot of clues they've given have been lyrics to Little Mix songs.
Oh, okay, then it must be her.
So, I don't know, to me it seems obvious that it is, but it could easily not be. I mean, you know.
So, and the octopus is the opera lady that Nick thinks is Catherine Jenkins.
I think it's Charlotte Church or Catherine Jenkins.
Do you think it's Charlotte Church?
I thought it was Charlotte Church for a couple of weeks, and then someone said to me at the weekend, I think it's Catherine Jenkins. And then we watched it, and I think it could, because she's so giggly and so, like, bouncy, and Catherine Jenkins is a lot more animated and kind of warm than Charlotte Church is. So I think, to me, that makes sense that it's Catherine Jenkins.
And also, Charlotte Church was really grungy for a time. They haven't made any allusions to that, have they?
No, but... no, I guess not. But they're definitely talking about the opera thing, which Charlotte Church does too.
Yeah.
But Octopus is great. Really good. When she sings. Did you hear her do Little Mermaid?
No.
She did Little Mermaid, and then she...
I don't watch the singing, I find that really boring.
Oh, Jenny, it's lovely. It's really good. But one thing that is good about it is when watching it, we say, actually, she's a really good singer. Like when Denise and Ant was doing it, like, she's actually good. She's got a good voice. Whereas
I liked it when she said, when she and they took her mask off, and this is the highlight of my career. And we're like, really? You've done Broadway? It's the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, but Broadway's hard. Theatre can be toxic. All she's doing that, she's not worrying about her looks or anything. She's in a costume.
Yeah.
Singing. So.
That's true.
A lot of musicians just like the process of recording the songs in the studio and not performing it because there's too many other weird pressures. But with that, they're just completely anonymous. Just have a good old sing song. So I thought it was quite sad in a way when she said that, because it's kind of quite revealing that there's more insecurity there than people think, maybe.
That's a better take on it than mine.
You're just looking at the glitz and glamour of Broadway.
I was just like going, are you sure? I mean, you did the big breakfast. That sounded like fun.
Getting up at 4 o'clock every morning. Hell no.
Finish by 10.
Where's my big breakfast? I used to love Big Breakfast. Wasn't that a great show?
It was really good.
Two lock keepers, cottages, Old Ford, Dock, London, E3, 2, NN.
Oh, Mark.
I used to love it. That's how to write in if you want to write into Big Breakfast, everyone.
God, you wouldn't write in anymore, would you?
No.
Text us.
Send us a tweet.
Email us. Tweet us.
At bbbreakfast. Tweet.
It wouldn't be BB Breakfast. The Big Breakfast.
Big B.
Channel 4.
Zig and Zag.
Aww.
That was a show. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Masked Singer. Freaking awesome. I can't stand Joel Dommett, though. Just me, Edin. And the judges.
Why?
His voice, he sounds like he's performing, narrating, rather than actually revealing his personality and who he is. He always talks, puts on weird British, and I think for a face-to-face presenter, I prefer, like, I know them. Like, you know when Davina McCall hosts? I feel like she's being really authentic with who she is. And when she's excited, I feel excited. Whereas, I don't know. I'm just not warming up to him.
Big gig for him, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Or Joel Dommett.
Crazy Joel.
It's only because he's in the jungle and he had the big muscles.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
Yeah.
The only reason. But yeah, Ken, what's his name, is annoying. I liked it when the Osbournes won it. Did you see it with Kelly Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne?
Yes, I like that one. That was nice.
Yeah, it's good. It was good. And one more point about how to write books.
Okay.
Should jump back. Something that I really liked as well was they said, when you're writing a book, start anywhere. Don't feel you have to start at the start of your book. If you want to write the end, write the end. If you want to do the middle or any section at all, just get going with it. You don't have... Because I think it's really... It's kind of true, isn't it? You sit there and think, oh, I don't know how... I know what's going to happen in the book, but I don't know where to start. So you just keep putting off because you're still thinking about it and making notes and you don't actually get around to doing it. It's just... If you know how something's going to happen in the book, just do that. Just write that and then build around it.
I think that's really helpful for the structure as well, because you want to have the first couple of chapters where not much happens. But if you've got an idea, then yeah, you're right. You're bound to write a bit more when something's happening.
And I guess it comes back to the thing about there are no rules. Just do it.
Yeah.
Like if you want to write the last chapter, write the last chapter. Then if you want to do chapter 3, do that. Or then jump to 7, do that. You don't even have to do chapters. Just if you want, just have a...
One big stream of consciousness. One big
stream of
beautiful, that's not going to annoy people at all. Words. Especially not Nick. Nick, you like, I read to the end of this chapter. Oh, no, it's a really long chapter.
But you can always change that later. But when you're starting off, if you just want to have one massive, massive, massive manuscript, just do it. And then if you feel you want to divide it up into chapters. It's whatever you like. It's like, Jim, have you ever, you must have read Dan Brown's books, where each chapter is like one page.
Not a even long a page, time ago.
One side.
I've read books like that.
I find it annoying. It's like, ugh. It's like going from one thing to the next really quickly. But it's what works for you. But just get the content down there, because you can always change things later. You're not committed.
Exactly. I think that's the thing. You can change things afterwards once it's written down.
Yeah.
It can be changed and deleted.
Exacto mondo. And one other thing they talked about as well, setting yourself a goal. What do you think about that? What do you think about setting yourself a goal?
I think it's very useful. I mean, it helped me with the NaNoWriMo thing. I mean, it wouldn't have been done otherwise. So, yeah, I mean, also when we worked together, that was all about goal setting and setting ourselves deadlines and targets. So, yeah, I think it's essential, really.
Mm.
Otherwise, things just do float on aimlessly, especially when something... like a book that can never really be finished, you have to give yourself a goal, a deadline, something to work to.
Yeah. What do you mean it can never be finished?
You can carry on improving things forever, can't you?
Yeah, I suppose. Do you think that's what happened to Tolkien? With Lord of the Rings?
Huh?
With Lord of the Rings, he just didn't know when to stop, so he kept going and going and going and going. And like, oh, I'm just going to add some more bits about forests. Right, add that in. Go back. Oh, I want to put a bit more about the countryside. Put that in. And he could not stop.
I think that's probably it. Then he wrote some more long books. And then, then he died. So, yeah, probably.
So, put in that content. Content. Yeah, I don't like it when it's too descriptive in books.
It's a nice idea. So you just find yourself glossing over it, don't you? Just like, when's some talking going to happen? Okay, good.
I remember when I read Wicked by Gregory Maguire. Have you read it?
No.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, Jenny, change your life. Change your life. But the book, 100%. The book, the book and the musical are very different, by the way. Just want to say. But the book, sometimes I'm sure he spent like a page describing a leaf, and I was like, I'm over this.
Wow.
It might not have been a leaf, but that might be an exaggeration. It might be a forest or something. But anyway, it felt like he could have just said it was very green and leafy, and then move on or something. Or maybe
a reason why you could describe a leaf. Was it a magic leaf?
No, just the forest. And it went on and on. I was like, come on, move on. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
You know, just thinking, like, you're just waiting and waiting. Yeah, he likes a good description, he does. Old Greg.
But then some people make such beautiful descriptions.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't believe
that they've made those connections and made it sound...
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, just personally.
Encapsulated into their world. Yeah, but sometimes it can go on and on for ages.
Move on.
Yeah, stop.
No.
Put some talking in. Make it funny. Yeah.
What are you reading at the moment, apart from your book about failing? Or is that it?
I have just finished reading Ruth Hogan's The Wisdom of Sally Redshoes, which I very much recommend. It's a very good book. I love it, the twist and the turn, although I did see it coming.
Yeah.
And, I read Love for Imperfect Things by, and I have to look at my computer to find what the guy's called, because he is a Buddhist monk.
Mm.
And his name is...
Is it the Dalai Lama?
Hanim Sunim, a Buddhist monk who lives, I think, in Seoul. And I loved it. I picked it up in the library and I was just like, oh, it looks good. But it's just a lovely book to read and gives you such nice hope. And it's just lovely little things about how you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't strive for perfection, how you should appreciate things as you are, you know. Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah.
Just a collection of lovely, lovely things. And I like it. He's written another book. I'm going to get that too.
Progress, Not Perfection. That's something that that we were told on my business course that I'm doing at the moment.
Oh, you did a business course?
Yeah, business workshops about small businesses and how to do them, baseline intentions, setting your goals, all that sort of stuff. And one of the things is they just mention it, one of their little mantras is progression, not perfection.
Very nice.
It's good.
Aww. Lovely. I'm trying to find some of the stuff he says, but I can't find it in the books downstairs. It needs to go back to the library like by Friday. So
sounds good though, Jenny. Sounds good.
I know, he's a Zen Buddhist teacher. I mean, love it. He's one of the most influential Zen monks in the world, with over a million followers on Twitter, Facebook, and he's on Instagram. Go find him, see what he's up to.
I love
see what he's up to. Oh, you know what, I'm obsessed with Stacey Solomon at the moment. I need to calm down my obsession with Stacey Solomon.
Too loud. Why do you love Stacey Solomon so much?
I don't know why.
Is it because of her love for Joe Swash?
I mean, I love Joe Swash, so I'm happy that she loves Joe Swash, and it's nice to see him about, but no, she just loves tidying and organising stuff. Her best friend's Mrs. Hinch. So basically, a whole feed is just like tap to tidy, and it's like a messy room. You tap it, and it's tidy. And then she's like, "This is what I bought to organise my makeup brushes." And you're like, "Oh!" And she's got a really good idea for cupboards. See how excited I am for her. She puts like tension rods at the back of the cupboards and little clips, and she hangs all the crisps up. Genius.
I've no words, Jenny. Yeah, no words.
And also she has a cute baby, so you can see cute baby all the time.
Mm. Super.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I don't know, it just makes me feel even worse about the state of my cupboards and the state of my studio and everything.
You like the tidying thing, don't you? I thought you liked the tidy people. You used to be a big fan of Kim and Sue. Kim and Mel and Sue. Kim and Polly.
Mel and Sue.
Kim and, oh, who's the other one?
What are you talking about, Jenny?
Hagrid? No.
Hagrid? What are you talking about?
Morag?
Harry Potter?
Mama's Scottish. Kim and...
Oh, do you mean Kim and Aggie?
Kim and Aggie!
Kim and Hagrid.
That's it. Because Mama's Scottish.
Was I a big fan of them?
I'm pretty sure that you said, when you were in your one of your first flats, I think, I've got this book, and it was their guide to cleaning, and you were really into it.
Maybe I need to find that book.
I think I've still got it somewhere.
Maybe I need to find that book, Jenny.
There's a lot of cleaning with lemon juice.
Oh, lemon juice is good, though. Lemon juice is good. It's good for descaling as well as lemon juice.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I don't know. I just, I kind of fall out of love with Instagram when they show perfect things, like, tap to make it all tidy, because it's like, well, that just makes me feel that my stuff's not tidy.
Yeah, I do think I need to lay off it because I'm feeling a bit...
I'd rather see them, oh my gosh, this chaos, but I'm making it work and it's okay. As long as you're...
But I've made a little path and no one's dead yet. It's all fine.
As long as you're making it work, it's not making you sick, you know, it's all right. Here's a method of where you can improve it, rather than make it look like this. Bing! Like, what's her name? Who's the little lady who does all the tidying? Marie Kondo!
Oh, the little Marie Kondo, yeah, same sort of thing.
Yeah, I like her methods. Although, the way she folds up t-shirts, I'm concerned about the creases.
Does she do the middle fold and then underneath?
She does loads of folds. So they're like the size of a sandwich. Like they're this big. They're like the size of a sandwich in your drawer. So when you take it out, either you have to iron it or you just look like like you don't know.
Like you're creased. And also, how do you know what lovely slogan's on the t-shirt that's folded up that small?
You fold it in such a way that you can see the slogan. All
right.
You fold it so you can reference your drawer. But, yeah.
It's like, I know that there was something on social media doing the rounds about someone folding up bags for life very small and flat.
Oh, I do that.
And I never watched it. And now I need to watch it and learn it because I've got a big stack of them I need to condense.
Well, do you ever fold your crisp bags into little triangles?
I could never get the hang of it. Is it that same thing though? Just
do that. Turn into tiny little triangles.
And then pop the bit in.
Yeah. Done.
I will do that. That'll be my job later.
So far. Oh.
I hang up my crisps and then fold my bags for life.
Surely there are better things to do than hang up crisps. Doesn't that just take ages?
It's quite cute though.
Good for Instagram. Not cute.
I mean, it's good for her. She refills every week. But Hector eats like 4 bags of crisps a day. I'd be refilling all the time. I've run out of things I can give him to eat. He just eats. He had like 4 hot cross buns the other day.
Wow. Hot cross buns, are they out?
Yeah.
Oh, I love a hot cross bun.
We're living off hot cross buns right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
What about pancakes? I haven't had pancake day yet.
Jenny, we have pancakes on Friday.
You're jumping the gun.
Nope. It's every day. It's pancake day and hot cross bun day.
Oh.
Easter. It's called Easter. Happy hot cross bun day.
Is it Easter in April this year?
It's really late because it's not pancake day. It's the 25th of February.
Yeah. I think Easter's on near my birthday. It's so light. It's so light. And then it'll be Eurovision.
Yay.
Right. How are we getting on? Listener, do you feel fulfilled? Have we told you how to write?
I think they're quite happy, and also we've gone into other cool stuff. I think they're sated and fulfilled.
So, thank you very much for listening, everybody. We hope you've been enlightened, and whatever your creative project is, if it's writing, or if it's... What else could the creative project be, Jenny? It could be drawing a picture.
They could be doing art. They could be hanging up their crisps. Whatever creative project you decided to do. Oh, Boo.
Boo got very excited and talking about crisps. I was a crisp. Or maybe you're writing some music. You're singing a song. Whatever it is. Maybe on the Masked Singer. You're rehearsing.
Yes.
Hopefully you found some pearls of wisdom in this episode. So.
Hopefully.
Yes. So we'll be back very, very soon with our 40th episode. We might have a party.
We'll have to celebrate. Our 40th is a very important thing.
It is.
Milestone.
Milestone.
We'll have a party. Should we do an original one when we drink gin?
Yeah, that's a ginny party.
Yeah, that's a gin one. Yay. All right then. Thanks, Mark. It's been lovely.
Thank you. And keep an eye on all these places where you get your podcasts because we'll be back very, very soon.
I thought you were going to say keep dancing.
Keep dancing. Strictly Beyonce as well. I can't wait. Right. Thank you, Jenny. Okay. Bye, everyone. Take care.
Enjoy
your day. Get writing. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening. You can find our show notes at powerpodcastuk.blogspot.com. where you'll find links to all the things we talk about so you can continue your journey to productivity fulfillment.
If you enjoyed our episode, please consider supporting us by leaving us a review on iTunes or whichever platform you listen to us on. You can also help us spread the word about the podcast by taking a screenshot of this episode right now and putting it on your social media feeds to share it with your friends and family. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way and simply tell your friends, family and colleagues about the show. Your support is very much appreciated.
Make sure you've subscribed to our podcast so you know when our next episode lands, and we'll see you next time.
I want to talk about Bad Fish Studio. Jenny, have you ever been in a situation where you need to get some t-shirts or some hoodies printed?
But just like unique ones that just come from my head and I've got an idea and I can't I can't find it anywhere else.
Like your own bespoke all the time. Design. Well, Badfish Studio can do that for you. Maybe you're organising a hen night. Maybe you're organising a stag night or a special birthday celebration and you want everyone to be wearing the same t-shirts or the same hoodies. You can get them designed online with Badfish Studio. They do everything from t-shirts to hoodies and a lot more as well.
Ooh, and I guess they're only to order from £15.
Yep, that's it. Yeah. So it's a bargain, bargain.
And they could do really cool stuff. They've got loads of specialist vinyl and various methods, and they can make like the best, most perfect thing that you really, really want to make your garment come alive.
Yep, and they can work with you on your design as well. So you're not alone. They will be able to help you with all their expertise of all the design that they've done before. And what's even better, what's more than that, is if you go to badfishmerch.com, find a t-shirt you want. Maybe you like one they already have in their shops. If you use offer code POW, that's P-O-W, you can save 10%.
Yay! That's great.
So where are they? Where is Badfish Merch?
Well, you can find them on Facebook, Mark, at Mark, March, Merch. You can find them on Facebook, Mark, at Badfish Merch. Instagram is Badfish Studio. Or you can just go to badfishmerch.com and check it out. They've got loads of really cool stuff. They can do full colour images or bold coloured vinyl, including metallic, leather and carbon fibre look vinyl. Glow in the dark, reflective. And what else, Mark?
Well, they even do rainbow or glitter for all you snazzy unicorns out there.
I'm a snazzy unicorn. That sounds great.
I love a snazzy unicorn. Just go straight to badfishmerch.com, use offer code POW to save 10% and get designing.